Let's go to the scriptures. If you're already in 1st, 2nd Thessalonians, the chapter number 3 and verse number 13. I have a message here. Try to help myself. Be cheery, not weary. So I'm going to help myself if you let me. Just say amen. And if you have a heart for people, I know you do. Our church does. We support so many missionaries. And we love people. You will have a heavy heart. And these people are, if it was you guys that got hit, we would be very concerned. And so please do pray for me and my wife. There's nothing we can do but say we're praying for you. The emoji, the praying hand, has meant so much more than it has ever been to send them across the waves by the messenger there. So it's Merry Christmas we'll celebrate and a Happy New Year. So I want to encourage us today in the word of the Lord. And you know what? When you find that you can't find any encouragement anywhere else, there is God that can be the encourager that he is. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, if you're able to bodily, let's respect the word of God tonight. Please, would you please stand and let's read one verse together. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3. And verse number 13 is such a short verse, so I would like for you to read it together with me. So let's go 1, 2, read. But ye brethren, be not weary in well-doing. Let's pray, Lord. Tonight we need you because we are weak and fragile people. We're very needy. And Lord, as I see pictures of people that have it in life, and those people beside them that don't have it in life, it's funny that they need the same thing. And Lord, how humbling that is. The best of the man that we can be, it's still not enough. But Lord, we have access to you in time of need. There is a place we can come when you say that your resources and is exhaustible. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us in faith, that we would trust your everlasting, unending power. And Lord, as a pastor preached this morning, we may see how great you really are in time of need. We ask in Jesus' name, amen and amen. You know the funny thing, and I'm going to get ahead of myself. No, maybe I shouldn't get ahead of myself. I'll go ahead and sit down. You ever thought about sometimes when God gives you a command in Scripture, why does he say it? And the principle is, because we need it. That's one basic simple. Why would God say to us, brethren, be not weary in well-doing? Because we will be weary in well-doing. That's why he puts that in there. That's why when God says, love your enemies, because he knows we're going to have a problem with other people around us. And so tonight, may I encourage you, and I hope it is an encouragement, that, you know, all around us it seems we're losing. All around us it seems we are not favored. You know, we are not the ones welcomed. Our opinions is not the one wanted. Nobody is flocking us and saying, can you help us? And sometimes you get discouraged and you get weary in doing the right thing because it seems there's no effect. It's not doing anything. It seems. But that's when we're wrong. A lot of times our perspective by thinking be skewed. And we don't look at it like Isaiah did. And so I want to help us tonight to be cheery. Not weary. Weary is tiredness. You're tired of something. We have a word in the Philippines, nasawa. When somebody says that to you, it's always a negative connotation in the fact that you're tired of something. Pastor made mention of pizza. We are pizzaed out. We need some more different food, sub. change it up a little bit, you know? But you know what? I don't have a problem if we have pizza every time. I love pizza. As you can tell, I've been helping myself. But sometimes you get tired of something good. Sometimes you get tired of something that God says we should not be tired of. We get mundane. We get lackadaisical. We get used to something and we take it for granted how good it is. And you know, sometimes doing the right thing is not always popular. And doing the right thing is not always what people want. Saying what is right is something that sometimes somebody don't want to hear that at that moment. It's not the most wonderful thing they're wanting from you. And a lot of times it's easy to do what's easy. Right. It's easy to do what people want you to do. Just come on along with us. It's easy to just coast and ride instead of contend and fight. It's hard. You don't want to do it. I just want to relax. And so God tells us, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. Don't get tired of doing right. Don't ever get tired of doing right. There's a few things that I put together here that might cause us to be weary as men. God tells us in his book that God is neither does he faint nor is he weary. Actually, he says he doesn't even sleep, neither does he slumber. And so I'll give you a few things here. I want to go quickly and then want to encourage you today. In America, God is still on the throne. He's still doing his work. He still is a light. He is still trying to use us as his dear children to shed the light in this dark world. There's people sitting in darkness, and God still wants to use us. Yes, it might not be like it was, but let's not compare. Because today is today, and yesterday was yesterday. There's a reason why he did what he did then, and there's a reason why he's doing what he's doing now. Imagine the day that Jesus was born. It was not the brightest moment in Mary's life. It was not the brightest moment even in Joseph's life. But yet how amazing it was that Jesus was born. And so my friend, sometimes a pastor preached another great message about the little things of life. We get tired of the little things. And the little things sometimes make the big difference. So my friends, I'm encouraging us today as we're nearing the end of 2021. We're going into 2022, and anytime there's something new, there's excitement, right? There's excitement. It's hard to get excited when it's not going the way you want it, right? When are you excited? When you first get up in the morning and you're going to work, it's different excitement coming home. You're not excited coming home because you just have been beat up, and you're tired, you're weary. I just want to rest. What happened today? And so this is the end of the month. We're nearing the end of the month. We're in the evening hour now. And we can be weary. And you know, the Bible says the last days. Is that ironic? No, because we're men. He says the last days. Some people's love will get cold because they got weary. They got tired of loving. And they said, let's just give up on this. I'm encouraging us not to do that. Not to do that. Not to do that, my friends. It is when we need to be more diligent, more fervent, more excitable. Well, we're going to finish strong. And you're going to take more character at the end than at the beginning. Because you've been beat up. Because disappointment has arrived. Because what you wanted did not happen. You know, when you're watching the game, and I'm using an illustration here. And you have more hope before the ball is kicked. But then at the last part, especially when you're losing really bad, it's wearisome watching it. And so as a Christian, spiritually, we get into that. We get into that, and I feel America, we're in that weary place. And we can admit that it's wearisome, but we don't have to be weary. We don't have to be weary because God has not left his throne and his power is still the same and he can still do what he can do. You know, one thing that would cause us to be weary, number one, I'm watching the time. I appreciate Brother Ben now because he preaches short. I need to get a hold of him and help me. Number one, there it is. Amen. Lack of result. Lack of result sometimes can cause us to be weary. Look at Ezekiel chapter number 2 and verse number 5 to 7. Some of these verses I might be going fast, so you might not get it, but you can jot it down. A lack of result can cause us sometimes to be weary as Christians. We put a lot of effort into something and we're anticipating. It's always good to expect great things. You know, Pastor preached another message about William Carey. Expect great things from God. And so I don't want you not to expect great things. Actually, you should come in and expecting great things. You should be discouraged. That's a natural thing for somebody that has faith and hope. Because when things don't go right, yes, it's natural to be discouraged. The problem is when you remain discouraged and you remain depressed and you remain disappointed. Okay? I'm not trying to tell you when things are bad, things are good, just smile the whole time. I'm not saying that. When things are going bad, cry. When things are not doing well, show some emotion that you feel that. I don't want apathy. Do you want apathy that you don't care? Right? We need to care. But then we don't remain low. We don't remain low. We bounce back up. And we say, well, we did something. God did this. Let's continue and do something else. Lack of result. Look at what Ezekiel says. And they, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are a rebellious house, yet shall know that there had been a prophet among them. Ezekiel said, whether they're going to hear me or they're not going to hear me, I'm going to leave the results to God. I need to be the prophet that God called me to be. Look at verse 7. And thou shalt speak my words unto them, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are most rebellious. Sometimes, you know, we can't make people do what we want them to do. In fact, a lot of times, God doesn't even do it that way. He doesn't make people do what he wants them to do. He gives them a free will. And everybody has to exercise free will. And we have to choose God. We have to choose his will. So as a Christian today, I know you've been praying for somebody. You've been dealing with somebody. You're trying to encourage somebody. You're wanting them to come to church. Don't be so discouraged that you don't keep up at it. Just keep doing at it. They didn't come this time. Well, there's the next time. Let's get them then. All right? Just because of lack of result now, it doesn't mean that the result won't come. Hope defer. Sometimes hope, God says, well, not right now. But it doesn't mean it won't happen. Okay? And so let us be what? Cheery. Okay? Those people we prayed for to get saved, they didn't get saved at this moment. But guess what? I have hope. Why? Because they're still alive. There's their hope. They're going to still get saved probably by God's grace. I'm not going to be too worried about the result because I can't control result. My job today is to make sure that I do what God wants me to say and to be an encouragement and to be in the spirit that God wants me as I preach the word. I can't control your heart, how you respond. And you know what? I'm not even going to worry about it. I'm just going to do what God wants me to do. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 7. So neither then is he that planted anything, neither he that watereth it, but God that giveth the increase. You know who is in charge of the result and who is the one that brings it? It's God anyways. It's his job. That's not ours. Our job is to be obedient and do what he says, and then he will bring the result. Another thing that sometimes will discourage us is lack of help. Okay, lack of help discourages us in this Christian life. Look at Exodus 18 and verse 7 to 18. And may I say this quickly before I forget. We're in a country right now that it seems like nobody wants to do anything. My. Even if you get paid. Nobody wants to touch any kind of application and work. I haven't seen so many restaurants, so many companies wanting work. Man, if I didn't have a job, I would work. Why? Nobody wants to work for pay. And you know what we see in the churches around us as we visit, as we reported in some of the churches we got to? Guess what? Nobody wants to volunteer at church. Are we that busy that we can't give some of our time to do some little thing for the church? I know I'm preaching to the choir. You're here Sunday night. Is there a little time you can still give to the Lord, you know? Lack of help. You know, sometimes all you have to do is show up and encourage people. You look at me like that's weird. No, it's not. Just show up. You just sit there and smile and there, you know what? Wow. I'm encouraged, you know? So, lack of help. Look at what Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, black man. Okay? I always got asked about interracial marriage. I'm not going to deal with that. Somebody didn't show up in my wedding because they didn't feel like my color skin should marry a white woman. Well, I did fine. Babies look cute. We got a problem with that. And she's still eating. So, and I'm still working. Exodus 18, 17 to 18. And Moses' father-in-law said unto him, the thing that thou doest is not good. And what was he doing? Thou will surely wear away both thou and this people that is with thee. For this thing is too heavy for thee. Thou art not able to perform it thyself alone. Americans, we're independent. We don't want help. We want to do it our way. We're going to do it when we want it, how we want it. And sometimes that is a deterrent for us as Christians to unite and get the job done more effectively, more efficiently, and less wear and tear on each other. And so here's Jethro saying to Moses, you know what was happening here? Because Jethro wanted to sit down and visit with Moses. That's what was happening. If you read the context, Jethro wanted to sit down with Moses and have fellowship and eat. And Jethro's like, where is my son-in-law? I can't even talk to him. Well, this is what he was doing. He was talking to the people. I'll get to the next verse. From morning till evening, counseling them. Poor dude. He's going to wear himself out. That's what Jethro said. That is not good. Lack of help. You know what Jesus said? Matthew 9 and verse number 38. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Faith Bible Baptist Church, we cannot and we should not rely on a few people to get the job done that our church needs to do. It requires every single believer that is a member of this church to get the job done. A lot of times we depend on very, very few people. And a lot of times the people that are doing the work are the criticized the most. And the people that are not doing the work is happy to sit and give their 2 cents in, which has no problem with that. This is a free country. You can tell me what you think. But you know what? You would help more if you join hand with me and let's do the work. Hey, we were not perfect at the choir. You could have been in the choir. Come on, guys. I can criticize everything. It's not hard. Because there's no skin on my teeth. If I criticize, I can. But man, it's something else when you come and help us. And we do it together. Because it is a cause of encouragement. When a brother says, you need help, I'm going to jump in. I'll help you. Yeah. And so that's what Jethro was saying to him. Don't do that. Pray today for the Lord of the harvest. Another thing, it goes along with this. Another thing that people are weary. They're overworked. You're overworked. You're doing too many things. God says he rested on the seventh day. Even God rested on the seventh day. He even taught the Israelites that their land should be rested on the seventh year. The Bible says, after you worked, rest. God teaches that in the Word. Now, in Thessalonians, we're writing here, there is a problem, and I appreciate us that we don't believe in this, There's people in chapter number 3 of 2 Thessalonians. You know what they were doing? They weren't doing nothing in the ministry. And Paul was rebuking them for not doing anything. And the Bible tells them they were busybodies. If you have time to know everybody's business, you're not busy enough. Guys, I don't have time to keep up with everybody. Because life in itself has too much cares that it's upon me. I got 4 children. I got a wife. I got my parents. I got my in-laws. I got too many people that I'm responsible to and for. That I don't have time, guys, to talk about minuscule things. If we're too much time in our hands to talk about things we should have no business talking about, that means we're not busy enough. That means we need to change what we're doing and get something productive and do that rather than do the other stuff. That's in 2 Thessalonians. That's when the Bible says, be not weary in well-doing. That's the context of that. Because some people are not working and then others are working hard. And God said to them, hey, help these people out. And he's telling those that are working, okay, guys, I know they're not helping you. I'm going to rebuke them. If you don't work, you shall not eat. That's all the context of this chapter. And he said to those that are working, be not weary in well-doing, brother. You know how you can help somebody? Jump in, ask. Simple question, ask. What can I do to help, you know? We're overworked. Look at Exodus 18 and verse number 14. This is the same thing with Jethro. And when Moses' father-in-law saw all that he did to the people, he said, what is this thing that thou doest to the people? Why sittest thou thyself alone, and all the people stand by thee from morning unto evening? He's doing this by himself. He's overworked. Look at Martha, Luke chapter number 10 and verse number 40. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister had left me to serve alone? Look at the words, alone. Bid her, therefore, that she help me. Because Martha was weary. She was cumbered. She was tired. Teach your children to work. Don't do everything for them. If they're ready to make and know how to make their bed, make them make their bed. If they know how to wash some dishes, make them wash some dishes. If they know how to pick up a shovel, make them go a shovel. I'm glad my father did not make me do nothing at home. And it seems like I was picking up rocks over here and then putting them over there. And then he said, I don't want them over there now. I want you to put them over there. I didn't understand all of that. Then he made me shovel. We were shoveling for the leach field because we're trying to figure out why our backyard smells like, you know what? Something's up. We dug up all the leach field. We had holes back there. Looked like we were in World War I. But all that helped me. I mowed the yard by push. Then when I was in college, he shows up and says, look at my John Deere. And he's right on a John Deere. Came back home for a Christmas, and I shoveled our driveway. Sometimes, you know, Dad will feel bad. He'll come home from work. He said, get in the car. I'll finish shoveling. I can only shovel enough to pull the car in for, you know, how it is in Springville. One Christmas, I came. And I don't know why my dad is shoveling. He's just shoveling out there. I said, what's up with this? And here was a delivery of a snowblower. I said, son, this is your replacement. He said, is that crazy? Sometimes you're overworked. You're overworked. Look at your workload. Do you really need to do all of that? Or can you find somebody to help you? That's what Jethro said. You don't have to do everything. You can find good people, good women. You can trust them, and they can help you. All right? Number 4, sometimes opposition. Nobody gets opposed, right? For any good idea you have, everybody just says, yes, that's the greatest idea. Opposition. That sometimes wearies you. Nehemiah 2, 19 to 20. But when Sanballat, the Horonite, and Tobiah, I think he had a lot of horn. That's what I always thought when I read him. And Tobiah, the servant, the Ammonite, and Geshem, the Arabian, heard it, they laughed us to scorn and despised us and said, what is this thing that you do? Have you ever Have you ever got that when you have a vision, you know, and you want something done, and you have this vision God's given you, and then somebody says, what are we going to do that for? Why are you doing that? Why are you starting churches? You're not happy with the church you have? You know, I don't know. That might be too close. But anyways, will you rebel against the king? It's just like David. Isn't that funny? When David come in 1 Samuel 17, and David had a cause, the Bible says. And he was made fun of. He was ridiculed. He said, you're just here because you're naughty. You have no pure intention to be here. You know what ended up happening? David ended up killing Goliath. I wonder what those brothers said after that. We'll see what happens. Then answered I them and said unto them, the God of heaven, he will prosper us. Look at that verse. That's what Nehemiah said. After these people said these things to him, they scorned him, laughed at him. That's not going to work. You're a rebel. Look at verse 20. Then answered I them and said unto them, the God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore, we his servants, that's preaching in itself, will arise and build. But remember this, but you have no portion, nor right, nor memorial in Jerusalem. You the one going to lose out of this because you're against us. Look at 1 Samuel 30, verse 6. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved. The enemy came and took away their family and their belongings. And so now his mighty valor that followed and loved on him said, we're going to stone you. Because the soul of the people was grieved, every man for his son and for his daughter. But David encouraged himself in the Lord, his God. And you know how he did that? He went to the church. At the time, his representative, the priest, and asked for the ephod. And he inquired of the Lord. Prayed. That's what he did. That's how he encouraged himself. And he said, should I pursue? And God says, pursue. And so he went after and got everything back. Nobody was hurt. But opposition sometimes will make you weary. Guys, if you're going to do anything for God, know this. The devil will be against you. Anything God is for, the devil is against. And so if you're going to do anything that will amount to anything for the Lord, guess what? The devil will be after you. I want to start a Sunday school. The devil will be after you. I want to start a bus route. The devil will be after you. I want to start this ministry. I want to go soul winning. The devil will be after you. So guess what? Don't be weary. Guess what? Go soul winning. Start that bus route. Start that Sunday school. Go soul winning. Number five. This is our problem. Impatience sometimes will cause us to be weary. May I say that our culture has a big problem with being patient. It is even crept up in the Christian faith. You know, there's some things that God works on us for a long time. But we want God to work on it like that. We want it done now. We have problems, and we have problems with people, and people have problems with us, and we want God to fix it right now because I want it fixed. And God says, I'm teaching you something, son. Hold on. There's a lot of lesson, and I'm going to use that person. Just wait. Look at Hebrews 12, 1 and verse number 4. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight that is and the sin which that so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. Maybe that would cause some weariness. Okay, despising the shame, and is sit down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that he endure such contradiction of sinners against himself. We're talking about oppositions. Jesus says, even those are people that he loved and cared for, he came to his own received them, not rejected him. And those people that he wanted to save, those are the people that crucified him. For consider him that endure such contradiction of sinners against himself. Lest ye be wearied And the word faint is quit in the scripture sometimes. In your minds, ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. God is saying you have not fought sin as much as Jesus did, so don't be weary. Don't be weary. Fight it on. Fight it on. Be patient. There might be some things in your life you say, I wish God would take this away, but keep on praying. Keep on working on it. There's sin that besets you, and you feel like it's dragging you down. Get back up again, you fall. Get back up again. Pray the blood over it. Get rid of it. Ask for help. Don't give up. Don't be impatient. God will give us the victory. The Bible says one day we'll shed off this flesh, and we won't have to fight it anymore. Galatians 6, 7 to 10. Be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And as we have therefore opportunity, and with that being said, God goes on to give us another command. So, because I don't want you to be weary in well-doing, I'm going to give you more to do. And what is that? As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto those who are... I have a beef here a little bit sometimes. Why are we nice to people we don't know? And the people that we should love, we treat them very poorly. Why is that? That's not scriptural. According to this, look. Let me read you verse 10. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men. No problem with that. Especially unto them who are of the household of faith. We should treat each other a little bit better than we do sometimes. And we need to have some patience with each other. You know, I always say this. We like people we don't know very well, because we don't get affected as much. But when you start to live with a sinner, you realize, I need God so that I don't kill this person that I live with. As Elizabeth, this 12 years has been miraculous. I'm still alive. She still has patience. You know, the people that are closest to you will annoy you the most, will irritate you the most, will get upset at you. They will be the ones you're going to have arguments with more than people that don't even care about you. So why not let us not be weary with them? Let's not get tired of people. Let us love on them. Yeah, you know, sometimes you want to just say, God, help me. And accidentally, you know, do something. No, I'm just kidding. Anyways, in the flesh, I don't have time to read this to you, but sometimes being in the flesh, you know, Galatians 3:3, it says, are you foolish, having begun in the spirit? Are you now made perfect by the flesh? You know, sometimes what causes us to be weary, it seems like we're doing, we're serving, we're doing all of these, we're victories, and Pastor was talking about it this morning, and victories, and then we get in the flesh. And when we get in the flesh, we think we're doing it ourselves. We don't need God. And God lets us learn a lesson. Whoa! Let me let you go for a little bit so you realize who's holding you. And you get weary. You get tired and you get discouraged. No wrong thinking. Philippians 4:8, God says we should think on these things. Sometimes wrong thinking, negative thinking. Guys, we should not have our head in the sand about things that are wrong and that are needing attention, needing to be dealt with, needed correction. The Bible talks about it's problem for correction. That means there's something that are wrong that needs to be corrected. Okay, there's nothing wrong with being alert with something is not right. We need to try to help it gently, patiently. But at the same time, there's a saying, there was two people in prison. One looked in the stars and the other looked in the mud. Sometimes you know why you're so weary? Because you're focusing too much on the problems. And when you're too much on the problems become bigger than the solution. And the solution is always God. And so may I encourage you today, yes, there is problems. There is things that need corrected. But can we take off our eyes for a little bit because we know they're there? And let's look to God to help us. And let us get strength again. Let us hear some good news. Let us think of things that are honest. Let us things that are just, things that are pure, things that are lovely, things that are good report. Let's get some of those filling us up. You know why the TV and the news is so discouraging? Because it's discouraging what they're telling us. Okay? You know why it's discouraging? Because that's what they're telling us. They're painting a narrative that that's what it is. Let me ask you this. You go to the Word, the Bible's honest with us. When there's a problem, it tells us. But guess what? When there's something to celebrate, the Bible doesn't hesitate. It tells us to celebrate. And so, be in the Word of God. Wrong thinking messes it all up. Be careful, I'm done. We get weary of doing right. And eventually, we also get weary when we're corrected because we get off doing right. Look at Proverbs 3:11-12. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as the father the son in whom he delighted. You know, sometimes preaching is not something to be desired because it is truth that we need and it's hard to apply and it hurts us. And you feel sometimes you're even discouraged because I can't do what he's saying. But you shouldn't look at it like that. You should look at it like, wow, that person is being used by God because God loved me so much. I know I don't want to hear that, but I need it for me. And so let us not be weary of God's word and God's teaching, because it will lead us to this one sad verse in Isaiah 43, 21, 22. This people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. This is God talking. But thou hast not called upon me, O Jacob, but thou hast been weary of me, O Israel. You know, there's a point in a Christian, you'll be getting tired of doing right, you slip, and you get tired of, you don't want to be corrected. Okay, you're not doing right now because you got tired of it, and now you're doing wrong, and then God is going to chastise you, and you're tired of it. I don't want to hear it. I'm done. And then you get to the point that you're weary of God himself. Do you know there's a point in your life, if you get there, that you're tired of God himself? Are you there, Christian? Are you to the point in your Christianity when God is not enough? Look at what God says to a man, Peter. As he was walking on the water, he was falling, or he showed up. But straightway Jesus spake unto them. They thought he was a ghost. He said these words, be of good cheer. Why? It is I. You remember what Moses was to tell Egypt? You tell them that I am that I am. And that was enough for Moses. And that was enough. And that's what Jesus said to us here that are weary. These men are scared, they're tired, they're in this boat, there's a storm, and here comes a ghost. And you know the first thing Jesus said to them, guys, be of good cheer. It is I, the Almighty, the Omnipotent One. I'm the man. I don't want to disrespect the Lord, but he is it. And God says, be not afraid. Are we afraid? Are we living in weariness? Are we living discouraged? We're wanting to quit doing right. This is the end of the year. This is when we're tired. Oh, man, everything that I wanted for this year didn't happen. And this is it. You're recollecting. You're looking at it like, what happened this year? And may I encourage you, be of good cheer. Be not weary. Lord, we come to you, Lord. We've been here long enough. Lord, thank you for the people that you brought here tonight. Those that are not here, Lord, for some reason or another, Lord, and they're listening and they've watched us, Lord, online. I pray that you encourage them. Lord, pray for the Philippines today. It's dear to my heart. And Lord, I don't want to be selfish in asking this, but please provide for them. Please protect for them. Please encourage them. Please let them know they can be of good cheer. Lord, in Jesus, I ask this all. Amen, Pastor.